So I haven't had a guest on the podcast in a couple of months, and I thought I would bring in Trina, who has been working with us in VF with our clients, and I guess myself a little bit. I have to admit, I have done a little bit of yoga the last few weeks. So Trina is in working with us in yoga, but she does a lot of other stuff as well. And she is part of the Shaman group. Now, I'm not talking about the music group, but we'll get to that in the podcast. If you don't know what that is, we'll be covering that. This could be an interesting one.
Hi, I'm Paul Keenan, and you're about to start developing strength from the inside out with this podcast. I'm a personal trainer and mentor for trainers and coaches. With me, you won't get motivational fluff or hype. You will get a combination of brain science, real client case studies, transformational psychology, action steps, and some woo-woo wisdom, all rolled into one superset. If you're wanting more from your life, to feel better, look better, to heal, perhaps to have more and to be more, then this is the podcast for you. Because you're going to learn how to strengthen your mind and develop your awareness physically, mentally, and emotionally. All from the inside out. Welcome to the Mind Your Muscle Podcast.
Hey Trina, it is good to have you on the podcast. I haven't had a guest on now in a few weeks, and I think we're probably going to go down a fucking wormhole here. I hope that if somebody is listening who is obviously knows you, that they don't get too annoyed at my cursing. I will try to be as polite and as, I don't know, nice as I can be. I'm nice, but I'm curse. So welcome.
You are nice. How are you? Hi.
You have been kind of working a little bit with me and my clients in VF for the last couple of months, just doing a little bit of laser yoga, if that's such a thing that I kind of created there. So now you've just came in for full sessions with us, but you're not just a yoga instructor, yoga coach, are you?
No, that's just my bit on the side.
So, who is Trina Ashton?
Oh, well, where can we start? So, Trina, which is a hard name because there's an O in it, gets confusing, is actually, I spell it professionally, Trina, like a tree. So, I'm Trina Tricious, the health coach. So, Trina Tricious, the health coach, started out making healthy sweets and treats for my clients. But realized already at that point that I was a health coach without having trained, because it's just naturally what I did. It's naturally who I've always been. I always want people to feel good, because I was always trying to, you know, find the next thing and to feel good about myself. And so I would always coach other people and help them to feel good. So I started to make the sweets whilst I then embarked on training with the Institute of Integrative Nutrition in New York to become a health coach. And what I learned there was fabulous, but also it was all of the stuff I was already doing, already learning, already putting into practice. And I am definitely someone who walks her talk. There's nothing that I would say or do that I haven't done or wouldn't do myself. Integrity is really important to me. So yes, I am the health coach that walks her talk. So health coaching is really about not just about nutrition and movement. It's about understanding that there are things more important than just the food that we eat. Relationships, career or life purpose, spirituality, and then obviously movement as well. So getting healthy movement. So all of these aspects, as well as nutrition, what I loved to do. And at the same time, I just had my son. So I had a young child, and I had also started to embark on some, I suppose you could call it counseling, because just before I had Fletcher, I had vertigo for months. I kind of really hit a big low professionally. I just was so tired of my job and of living the way I was, drinking every weekend. You know the old song, living for the weekend. I mean, I get that. That was me, you know, just party girl, drink all of the stuff away and don't think about anything. And I just had a low, and the vertigo lasted for 3 months and I couldn't work. And I mean, it wasn't the worst thing, vertigo, it's like you're a bit dizzy, but I couldn't cope with the shame of not being at work and all of that. So my mum made me go and see this specific counsellor, therapist, who's also spiritual. And she started to work with me on this very deep spiritual level that was kind of scary for me at the start, but because I knew that's really who I was, and I had been hiding that and suppressing that for a long time. And so working with her allowed me to start to open up to that again, to even to open up to my emotions, which I was very closed to. I was very masculine in my energy. I work with men. I was just like a guy that drank a lot and dressed up at the weekends. And yeah, and so that opened me up. And what I realized was I was already doing energy work. So I was already doing that as well. And like I've explained to Paul before, or to you before, that whenever you rub your hands together, you can try this right now, you rub your hands together and then you allow them to separate, you feel that kind of energy, you feel that magnetism between your hands and it kind of pulls. And if you just let go, your hands just start to move. So I do this actually in yoga, we call it butterfly pose, not we, yogis. And you sit on the floor and you bring your soles of your feet together so your knees come out, and then you flap your knees up and down so you look like a butterfly. But I find when I start that momentum, it's hard to stop. So it's the same with the arms. It's like this momentum occurs, this movement occurs that we're not in charge of. So, and if we allow, then stuff happens. So I was doing this when I was pregnant, when I had Fletcher, and just moving. And what I realized when I started to work with my therapist was that this was what's the word? This was energy healing. Sorry, Paul. Just pop, do not disturb, just to be sure. So I was really doing energy healing. And so then I started to train in that as well. So I trained in Reiki. So Reiki is what most of us understand as energy healing. But it's essentially, for me, it's like old fashioned. You know, it's like, it's very structured. And, you know, this is how you do it. And it's great for learning. But it's kind of keeps you in a structure. And energy has always existed. It's not like a new thing. It's not like Reiki practitioners discovered it. It's always been in existence because it is what is, and it's what we are. And as in, we are the stars. This is proved by scientists on the physical, you know, in physics, you know, we're the same matter as stars. When you're caught up in an atom, you're nothing inside, you know. So essentially we are energy. And I will always explain this to my clients in the fact that, you know, in Love Actually, when the first opening credits and they're at the airport and you're seeing all the people running and everybody's hugging each other and they're saying love is actually there all the time. And this is the thing, love is an energy that we can see. We can see when it is abundant in a room, for example, but we can also see where it's lacking. So it's something we can see without seeing. And energy is, it's the same. Energy is love. You know, people say God is love and God is energy. Depends on how you call that. You know, I call it energy or the universe, but it's all the same thing. And it's just all energy. And we are energy. And we talk about energy as in, oh, I've got no energy today, or I'm full of energy, or give that child sugar and they'll be full of energy. You know, so we talk in terms of energy, but we don't quite relate it to the fact that we are energy. We are energetic beings. That when we leave our body, I don't really talk about dying ever. Me and my son, that's not how we talk, because we don't die, we believe. We just leave the body. And if you've ever seen a loved one before and after they leave their body, there's no difference, as in the body's still the body. It's still the same person, but we can see very clearly that person we love is no longer there. They've suddenly left the body. The body's still there and they look the same, although sometimes they do look differently, but nothing has physically changed in the fact that, you know, the body is still there in existence, but there's something missing. And it's that energy, it's that life force, it's that inner thing. So we're all energy and we're all capable of using energy. So that's part of what I do. I did my Reiki training to become a master, and then I was also during the summer did some shaman training, which all again realized that's how I'm already doing it. So we are already all of these things, and we know that we use this kind of energy as well ourselves every day. Like if you've a sore tummy, you would put your hands on your tummy, because that warmth from your hands would help your tummy. And that's you essentially giving yourself energy healing without realizing, or putting your hand at your head, you know, to try and cool it down if your head's sore or hot. You know, we do these things automatically without realizing that's what we're doing. And we're all capable of doing it, but that's just part of what I do. So then I work energetically as well. So I do, I wouldn't call it Reiki healing, but that's what people would understand it as. Energy, I would call energy healing sessions. So I'll just kind of work with energy where you don't touch the person, you just hover above them, and then they can feel energy. And it depends on the person what we get out of that. Sometimes they'll just feel energy and they feel heat. Sometimes I will feel their pain and they haven't told me, and I'll be like, oh, my shoulder hurts really bad. And they're like, yeah, it's been really awful for the last 2 weeks. And then we'll work on that and clear it. Or sometimes people, you know, past loved ones will step in and talk to us. You know, I had a client before where their kind of relative had chosen to leave their body. And after they left the body, this person, my client, had done something for the body. And she was able to pass that through to me, something I didn't know. So there's ways that energy works that we can't explain, but this is how I work. And then I bring that into my sessions with my health coaching. So someone will come to me because they're not feeling good. Mostly my client base is mums who kind of feel like they've lost themselves along the way of becoming a mum, because suddenly they've just become mum and they forgot who they were. And so we try to get that back. And generally it starts with food and weight and movement. And then we incorporate with sleep, and we do all of that. And then we start to look at relationships. We start to get deeper relationships and career or life purpose. And then we move into spirituality. But when I'm working with them, maybe they're talking about how they can't eat this particular food. But then that becomes quite emotive because that reminds them of a time, and I can see them at a certain age. And then we'll go, okay, what happened when you were this age? And then they'll start to talk about that. And then they'll realize, oh my God, this connection with that particular food is why I can't eat this now, or whatever. You see what I mean? So I'll use all of my tools and my big, big spiritual and physical toolbox to help the client where they're at, because each of us is unique and specific and on a very unique journey. And so, but we all need help. And I still have my therapists and healers and, you know, all of the people that in my toolbox that I go to regularly. There's no end. There's no suddenly I'm cured and I'm perfect and I'm healed and I am everything. You know, we're always looking to keep working on ourselves, because we're never going to get to that perfect goal. And when we do, we don't need to be here anymore, and we'll just leave our body and we'll go off to find something else to do.
And how you talked about there at the start, you'd mentioned that you were off work. So you haven't always been doing what you've been doing. You were in a like clerical role, yeah, for over like 10, 12 years or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you ended up being off work. And then how was the transition from the employed world into the self-employed fucking woo-woo?
Well, do you know, yes, I know I haven't always been doing it professionally, but I've always been doing it. So I was always the weird one in the office with the healthy food, and I was always going to CrossFit and, you know, straight after work. And you know, I was always kind of that way. So I was always a bit woo-woo, but yeah, that was just me. But whenever I left, I left my job and I was on maternity. So that's why I left on maternity. And I came and lived in France for a while, which is where I'm back at now. And I'm very lucky my husband was able to financially support me. So I didn't have the fear. So it was more natural. So it was important, because my husband works away and the job that he does, he's a deep sea diver. And because of how he works, it was important for us to have stability for my son. So I knew I probably wasn't going to go back to work for a few years. And so I had this kind of comfortable cushion of a career break. So it wasn't so scary. So I could just do it more naturally. So it was nearly like I was doing it as a hobby and a pastime. But really deep down, I knew this is who I really am. That old job is who I thought I was, who maybe I wanted to be. But this is who I really am. And so it all happened very naturally. And I hate this word, but it happened organically. You know, I would find clients, you know, they would just come to me. I never advertised, people would just come. And so it was because that's what I was meant to be doing. And so I really, really believe in that. And kind of, there's no such thing as a coincidence, you know, synchronicities, things that turn up for you at the right time. And so it just happened very naturally for me, and it just kept evolving. Now, the yoga teaching part of it, that was actually my 40th birthday present to myself. I didn't intend to teach yoga. I had been doing yoga for 20 years because I always suffered with a bad back, because we talked about that before, Paul, that's emotional and it's hereditary in my family. So I always did yoga. And for my 40th, I gave myself this treat of 3 weeks in France on a yoga retreat to learn to be a yoga teacher. And I thought, well, that'd come in handy with my health coaching. But never did I think I would end up teaching it. And literally, as soon as I came back, I had 2 job offers for yoga classes and started teaching. And they both kind of contracted me for like nearly a year. And so then there we go. I became a yoga teacher. And it was something, again, very easy. For me, it was like as easy as breathing, because that's part of who I am. And whenever you find the thing that you're meant to do, and I'm not saying that everyone is meant to quit their career to do the thing that they love, because that just might be part-time for them, but this is full-time for me. This is who I really am. And I was just hiding before. So actually that transition became quite easy. I mean, doing my taxes, God, it was crap, but it took me like days the first time to do it. And this year I actually did it in advance before I left for France, and it took me like 2 hours. It was like, I'm getting so good at this. So the self-employment leap was, it had its challenges, but you know, I'm up for learning and I'm up for doing stuff new. And that's how we keep growing, isn't it? By doing things that are different and challenging. But it's who I'm meant to be, and I know that, but it's always changing. So I'm just always open to what comes next and what the universe presents to me to do next. So, yeah.
With the health coach side of it and the food stuff that you talked about, and, you know, things starting with food, and you mentioned about being in the office and that one, you know, who had like the food prepped or the healthier food or whatever, and then you were going to CrossFit and doing what I would call training as opposed to exercise. So you were going and doing that, you were being that person. Was that you like all the time, or was that the Monday to Friday and then there was the blowout at the weekends, or what?
Well, I kind of didn't work totally regular hours, but yes, basically, because I was also trying to suppress that part of me. So this kind of, you know, especially as women, we're quite intuitive. And we can be quite connected. And I mean, we're all of us are spiritual beings in a human body, but most of us don't want to know about that, or most of us have that suppressed out of us, you know, by, oh, mommy, I just saw something. That's not possible. You just made that up. Go on back to sleep. That's normal. That's not even malicious. That's just normal how we're all brought up. And so all of these things are kind of suppressed in us from an early age. So, but I knew I had this, there's this niggle, we talk about it in the spiritual world, the niggle of this thing that you know, but you don't want to look at. So I was trying to not look at it. So basically, if I didn't have to be in work for 8 a.m., like even if it was like 11 a.m., because I did different, you know, hours, if I didn't have to be in work at 8, I was drinking the night before. So yes, I was healthy, and I was brought up healthy, mostly because we were poor and we couldn't afford Coke or chips, and such takeaways didn't really exist in my childhood. But so I was always brought up, you know, vegetables, potatoes, meat, you know, all local, natural, you know, whatever. And that's, we just happened to be brought up that way. And we were always thin and healthy and went for walks and exercise. You know, so that was normal to me. But then I was mixing that with a suppression of, well, what my inner voice was trying to talk to me about and wake me up to myself, instead of keeping me locked in a place that I thought I wanted to be, but you know, wasn't really happy and wasn't living my fullest life and wasn't fulfilling my potential. I was just kind of hiding from it. So that's, yes, I absolutely did all the wine, the champagne. I drank a lot of champagne because there's no calories apart from champagne, so I mostly drank champagne. It was quite infamous for bringing champagne to parties, but yeah, that was me.
So would you say then that there was a certain lack of understanding of yourself, or you talk about that suppression. So there was, you know, the hiding away from something or not dealing with something. You know, you said about waking up to yourself, or waking up to yourself, and, you know, because a lot of my ideals and values and stuff that I like to talk about and coach from is about understanding self. But not from this point of view of, okay, well, you know, we've got to be this all singing, all dancing, beautiful all the time. Be the thing that, you know, everybody should aspire to be. It's about understanding your weaknesses and, you know, seeing that you have flaws and seeing that you have scars. And I talk about, you know, self-love and compassion. So where does that fit in with you and what you do?
Oh my goodness, it's the core, really. So that's what I was doing before. I didn't want to know or see who I really was. I couldn't look in a mirror. This is one of my big like homeworks for my clients. I could not look in a mirror. I hated myself, hated the look of myself, and yet I was a bit vain. You know, like, it was that contrast. So there was so much going on for me. I didn't understand so much of my story. I didn't understand. I was an addict, like pure through and through. I did smoke until from I was 16 till I was about 25. And whatever I really liked, I would become addicted to, whether that be CrossFit or eating paleo. You know, I'd become addicted to it, but then give me the sugar and boom, I was on the sugar. Because again, I didn't understand why I had an addictive personality. I thought it was inherited, you know, my uncle and my dad and whatever. You know, I didn't realize that it was to do with like a longing in me and a pain in me. And this is the thing, in order to be whole, we need to see the light and the dark within us. So we need to not be scared to look at the shame or the trauma or, you know, the pain or whatever it is, that, because that's what keeps us stuck. So that's what kept me stuck in this perpetual party girl, healthy girl, you know, like circle, where I was just, you know, the week was recovery and then away you'd go again at the weekend. And I was just keeping myself away from myself. So I only wanted to see certain aspects of myself. I didn't want to see the totality. And like you say, that's it's crucial to understand all of yourself and to understand who you really are and to understand why we emotionally eat, why we're drinking, why. Because I didn't know why. I kind of had that niggle. You know, there was a, you know, but I didn't really know why. I just thought, well, I can. I train hard and I eat well, so I can. And it didn't seem to be affecting me too physically until I made changes and realized that there's a whole different level of physical health that feels so much better that wasn't even available to me until I made, you know, physical changes. But again, that was just on the physical, and that became addictive too. And so I had to learn what it was that was missing for me and how I could get it. And I know you're saying about self-love, and it's very, you know, it's all now we talk about self-love, you know, but you can't just will yourself to love yourself, and you've got to love all parts of yourself. So you've got to know all parts of yourself. So you've got to look within, and that is scary as shit. And whenever I got to the point where I thought, I remember the first time I was asked, who is Trina? This was by my therapist. Who is Trina? I'm like, well, I'm the one with the big hair and the big heels and the big bag and the big sunglasses. And she was like, that's not who you are, honey. But I really thought that's who I was. I was a big time snob back then. And I really thought that that's who I was the facade, the mask. That's who I was. And that's the world I presented, you know, or that's the self I presented to the world. And how very wrong. It was a big, shallow, bloody tin soldier, you know, and not a reality. And it was very hard for me to learn to become vulnerable and to be open with who I really am. And when I learned that I wasn't those things and I had to discover who I was, that's probably the most terrified I've ever been in my life. And that doesn't sound like, oh, that sounds really scary. But when I was confronted, when I took all those layers off, the hair and the makeup and the whatever, when I took those layers off, and I was just left pure, bare, vulnerable me, that was terrifying because I didn't know who I was, didn't know, and had to then start to piece myself back together again. That was a scary place and a scary time. But that's, you know, one of my teachers, Rebecca Campbell, she's an amazing kind of spiritual teacher. She says, I pray that you get cracked open, because that is where you will find the pieces and rebuild yourself stronger than you've ever been. You know, so being cracked open, being bare and vulnerable on that floor, that's where you want to be in order to start to regain who you truly are. It's a powerful thing. I don't try and break my clients, let me tell you, but I'm there to support them when they're broken, when they're at that point. Now we can start to build them.
It's an important thing for people to try to understand, to be open to understanding, is that as we grow from childhood, we have experiences that if we don't like, or we're trying to hide something, or we're trying to block something, effectively what we do is we put the stick and plaster on it. The stick and plaster can be the alcohol, it can be the cigarettes, it can be the bag, it can be the hair, whatever that is, we are covering up for something in order to self-protect, because we always want to self-protect. And then I think we get to that point, and you've described it yourself, you know, that point where the body kind of started to shut down. It was in that state of dis-ease with the vertigo. And eventually, you know, you're probably going to crack either way. So you have the choice. You wait until the crack for, I don't know, maybe that shamanic death, if you want to call it that. And or you take that yourself and you start to not take control, because I used to always talk about taking control, and I don't think that's quite possible anymore. You know, you can manage to an extent, you know, where you're at, what you're feeling, what you're thinking, and how you deal with the self. But trying to understand who that self is a journey, and it's a journey that can be painful. But again, you know, we both deal with helping people who come to us with issues, with problems. And those problems have manifested and been born through previous choices and things that we've tried to hide. And then, yes, I think to an extent we are there, not necessarily trying to crack them open, but we are there with a little rock hammer, chipping away a little bit at a time, to see if we can help the clients discover actually who they are and why that's important.
Yes, 100%. Love it. Yes.
And
well, that's terrifying to confront, but as long as you've got someone in your corner that you feel safe, that you can share that with, that makes all the difference in the world.
You kind of used it, I don't know if you used the word, but that's what I picked up when you talked about, you know, you hated yourself, but at the same time, there was an aspect of vanity there.
Yeah. So
there was not like split personality, but it's what probably people could recognize as that.
Yeah.
There's this one, but then there's the other. So I hated myself, but at the same time, it was vain. So there's an aspect of confusion. Whenever we don't have confusion, then we lack clarity. Whenever we don't have clarity, then we lack confidence in our decisions. And that's when, again, whenever we're starting to not do things, or to hide things, or to suppress. And because you use the words, you know, addiction and things like that, and having an addictive personality, and, you know, I get that, and my wife tells me this all the time, Paul, you've this fucking addictive personality. You start something and it's like you just, and I've seen it myself, and it's caused a lot of fucking pain at home and in business and everything else. And that is one thing this year that I am trying so hard to let go of, and that, you know, I'm going and looking at where that comes from, but then kind of just stepping back from it too, and understanding that all those things that go on, and all those things, you know, we hate ourselves and we love ourselves, well, they're thoughts that are going on in our head. That's us being aware of what the mind is saying and what the mind is doing, and we're not the mind. You know, I mean, this podcast is called The Mind, Your Muscle, but we're not the muscle and we're not the mind. We are the person who is aware of the mind. We're the consciousness. We're that energy, God energy, universe, cosmic. You know, you talked there at the start about that connection to the stars. And we go back 13.8 billion years. Science shows us that so far, that's where they know that existence came from. They don't know what happened before that, but they know that there was something before that, but they don't know what that is. So we're still clanging on to that biblical side of things, which is cool. I like to discuss and be open to all of that. And with the yoga, with the health coach, with the recce, with the shamanism, with being in France, where's Trina going in the next 6 months?
Well, Trina doesn't have a clue, but the universe does. So this is the thing. And I, again, probably like yourself, Paul, because I'm addictive, but also quite controlling. I was always quite controlling, and I had to know, and I had to have a schedule, and I had to be in charge of what was happening. And then the universe would go, ha, 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 you think so, do you? So this is what I have learned, is to kind of let go, and just what happens will happen. And like I was saying to you before, whenever I started the health coaching, like I didn't have to advertise. People started just to come, because that was what I was meant to be doing at that time. And right now, what I'm meant to be doing is a bit different. And for me, I think very importantly, what I'm meant to be doing is really connecting very deep into this divine feminine energy, kind of Mother Earth. And where I am here in France is in a forest. And so I'm very, very much connected to Earth. And so it's lovely. So that's given me something new energetically to work towards, and that's going to bring something new. So what I will be doing is more energy healing work in the future by distance. So I already do that. Last week or a couple of weeks ago, I was working with a friend on the other side of France, and we were just on the phone, and I was working as if she was lying on the bed and I was treating her. And I was able to pick up on the intense pain in her shoulder by virtue of me feeling the intense pain in my shoulder. And when I said to her, she said, oh yeah, it's been agony since I got my vaccine. So I was able to work on that and help release it. And then we worked on something intestinally, and then that actually came up as something that had happened when she was 20. And that was again something I picked up. So it's very powerful. So I'm going to be doing more of that, working by distance, because it's actually quite powerful, especially when you're in somewhere like I am, very energetic, and I'm quite connected. It's very easy then to connect with the client. So I'm going to be giving away actually 2 sessions in exchange for 2 video testimonials for that. So that's quite exciting, doing more of that work. I'm also continuing my yoga teaching. I'm organizing a class at home, because I won't be there to teach it, because I'm going to stay in France for a year. So I'm organizing a different teacher to go in and teach my physical students, and then I'll still teach them also online. Working with yourself, hopefully too, teaching you guys. And I'm also starting to teach in French, which is a bit scary because I don't know all the vocab yet, but quite a few people have been asking me to teach here. And then eventually this time next year, I'm hoping to be, Easter next year, I'm hoping to start yoga retreats here in my house in France. So I've got lots of space to put up like tents or yurts in the property, or people can stay in the kind of local chambre d'hôtes, which are like B&Bs. And then I will host the yoga. We'll be doing fasting. It will be healthy food, all of this amazing local fresh organic produce that I can get here. We get it at home as well, but you know, it's beautiful in France. And I'll be then working with people to give them this beautiful retreat where they're totally immersed in nature. I mean, when I look right outside, I just can see mountains and trees, nothing else. I can't see houses. So we'll be totally immersed in nature, doing yoga, meditation, energy work. I even give energy healing to my clients when they're in Shavasana and yoga. And that's like the relaxed bit at the end. And all of the healthy food, so that they'll come away from a weekend or whatever, however long they're going to stay, feeling actually amazing instead of feeling exhausted and they've drank too much and whatever. And I'll also be doing some cookery workshops when my internet comes back to life. Some just as much online work as I can, because I'm always interested in helping others. So whatever shape that takes. But again, like I say, the universe has the plan, not me. So whatever will happen, and I'll just be open to it, and we'll see what happens.
So not much then, though.
That sounds like a lot, but really, I'm doing very little right now.
You had me with the yoga retreat idea until you said fasting, and I was like, Oh, fuck.
Only a little bit. It's not enforced. Nothing's
like between
enforced.
Fasting between meals, I can do. Like not eating between eating, I can do that. But kind of just as we wrap up, where does someone say who is feeling, you know, a bit lost or a bit stuck, or you know, they're maybe in pain, or there's stuff going on in their life? Where do you recommend that they start to look for support from? Because, you know, when it's me working, obviously, pretty much like PT based, I'm looking to do two things. When a client comes to me to work with us in VF, it's like, well, for the first month, I'm just going to focus on what you're eating and what training you're doing. Could also be known as food and exercise, or diet and exercise, but I don't like dieting and I don't like exercise. I like training and I like eating. So that's where I would start. Where do you kind of start with someone?
Right. So you've asked me two things there. So I'll answer both. Right. So the first thing is, if someone's feeling lost or confused or that they need support, firstly, of course, come to me. My consultations are free. But otherwise, find someone that you can just talk to, someone that you trust, because that's really important, just to start to open up. So, you know, that's where I started. You know, me and my girlfriend actually started our spiritual journey together, and we could trust each other. So we could talk about things that we were feeling and what was happening, or what happened then when my session with my therapist or whatever, you know, or find a therapist, find someone to talk to, find someone that you trust. If you're not even there yet, get a journal and just start writing. There's no right or wrong way to journal, but just put pen to paper and see what comes up. Because when you give yourself, this is what happens with my clients, they just give themselves, like, let's say an hour for a session. In that session, they are giving themselves time that they wouldn't have otherwise given themselves. And so what comes up in that session is really what your soul or the inner self really wants you to know. So if you just give yourself time, stuff will come up. But allow yourself to feel safe in it. So don't like be in the living room when kids are running about. That's not the same. You know, kids are in bed, maybe go up to your bedroom, light a candle, you know, make it like calm and safe and start to write, or even just lie down. You don't have to go into meditation. You know, meditation is like a scary word. So just close the eyes, place your hand in your heart and say, okay, my heart wants me to know, and finish the sentence. Or my soul is guiding me to, you know, just ask yourself questions that you allow an answer to come without forcing it, without finding the answer or having to have the answer. Just start to talk to yourself in that way. If you don't get an answer, it doesn't matter, but just allow yourself to start opening up to yourself and start a conversation with yourself, be that writing, and stuff might just come out. Or talking to yourself, hand in your heart, relaxed, feeling really relaxed in a bath, or lying on the bed with a candle. Just start to ask yourself, what do I need to know? Or what I love is angel cards, or, you know, oracle cards. They will give you that advice. They work that same way. So those are ways to work on your own. If you were to come to me, it's your second essential question, like, how do I start with my clients? It depends where they're at. So some clients, especially the guys are like, I just want to work on food. That's okay. We'll just work on food. And very rarely will you get past that. But, you know, some women, and mostly I work with women, they'll want to work on the food. That's where they want to, you know, maybe we'll do an elimination diet. Depends. Some women, for example, I had one woman, she wasn't even a client, she just came to me to deliver something professionally, and she burst into tears because she was so, so stressed. And so right there and then I taught her how to breathe. And she wasn't my client. This is what I do. I do this all the time, like, because I do clothes shops and everything. I'm like giving people lectures on how to breathe because it's really important. And so for a lot of clients, I just teach them how to breathe and how to come out of the stress response, because they're living in the stress response. They can't think of what to eat. They're not going to be able to change what they eat because they're so stressed that they need sugar, because that gives you the dopamine hit, makes you feel good. They're not sleeping because their cortisol is all over the place, another hormone associated with stress, but also with sleep. And so then they can't sleep because their cortisol, their stress hormone is really high. And so then they're making really bad decisions because they're really tired. Do you know? So it depends on where that client is. That's where I start. And sometimes I just go full on in with an energy healing session. And especially if they're so stressed and burnt out and they just actually can't cope with life, then I'm going to give them energy healing, because that's just going to help take a lot of that fractious energy away and calm them down. So I can't tell you where I start because it is unique and specific to every client, because we're all different and we're all in different, you know, stage. And so it's always, always, always different.
Yeah. So that's good. That was the right answer.
Thanks. It's client tailored, specific to your needs.
So it's just something, you know, that I've been looking at a lot, is that meeting somebody where they're at.
Yes. Because
if, you know, if you want to help someone, you got to go into their world.
Yes.
And they're not always ready for understanding protein and macros and, you know, the technical stuff. And sometimes they're not ready for even a calorie deficit. So, you know, we have to be aware of that with people. So it's been great to chat to you. Thanks again for coming on. So where can anyone who wants to connect with you at? I will stick it up in the show notes.
Thank you. On Instagram or Facebook at Trina Tricious, the health coach, or online, trinatricious.com, spelt like a tree and then like nutritious on the end, or Trina Tricious. Yeah, it's complicated. Just try and look for Trina, the health coach, on Facebook or Instagram. It's probably the easiest. My website isn't amazing. And send me a message.
Awesome. So we'll stick Trina's links into the show notes for the podcast episode. Again, thanks for coming on. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day and your time in France.
And thank you. Merci beaucoup.
Yes. Bonjour, Rodney.
yeah, petit pois.
I did French. I took it actually at A level and then dropped out because they were giving me a homework every week. But anyway, that's not here.
Quel there. Dommage. What a shame.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Thanks again for coming on. It was great to chat with you. And I'm sure our listeners have taken something from that.
Thank you. My pleasure.